Why, hello there.
Hello. Welcome, Poor Man Santana, to your first riveting episode of Nerdacious Behavior. We are very excited to have you. And by we, I mean me and the dog that is sitting next to me.
That's, you know, the only better thing would be a midget sitting next to you. So I'm really glad to be here and join you in the dog head.
Funny you should mention it. I thought a midget was here, but it turned out to be my dog walking around in my hoodie that I put on him. Scared the shit out of me. Anyway, happy, what's happening right now? Kwanzaa? Hanukkah, I recently learned.
Yeah.
I hope you had a good Christmas and Festivus.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was a pole burner. Yeah.
Nice. and... Did we say Kwanzaa? Yeah, I said Kwanzaa. Then whatever that is, would you just say?
Diwali?
What's Diwali?
I think it's a Indian celebration that's around this time of year. I think is happening.
Great. Well, happy Diwali, should that be applicable. And happy New Year's in a couple of days.
Yeah, that's going to be really good. We're coming into a new decade.
I know. I'm so excited. I won't shut up about the new decade factor.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I've ever noticed before. Like in 2010, I don't think I was like, it's a new decade. Let's be deliberate. I don't think so.
Yeah. And then did nothing. So, I mean, we should make an effort to make this one a little bit more deliberate.
I'm glad you said that because I have been thinking about that all day.
Yeah.
And that is what this entire podcast is going to be about. I've planned this podcast more than any other podcast. Watch it be the worst one yet.
I mean, it could be, but we're being deliberate about it being terrible. So you know what? Then success.
No, I want it to be good.
It comes in many forms. Don't be judgy. Or you know what? Well, be judgy. If something in your life that you lack is judgment, maybe kick up that judgment a little bit. If you judge too much, maybe kick back. Mm-hmm, it's different for everyone. You and I are judgy as fuck, so we've got that pretty much. We got that situated.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then I recently learned that I need to cut even more friends out of my life. So I did that.
Yeah.
So even if you're quite judgy indeed, and you think you're quite judgy, maybe you still could be more judgy, stand to be more judgy. I don't know. That's something that just happened to me.
Yeah. And I mean, it's something that I think that's really hard, like with your friends and family, and especially people that you're close to like that for a long time. You know, it tends to let us cloud our judgment and just think, you know, we have to deal with it when realistically you don't.
I didn't think that I had to deal with it. I just thought I had like a deliberate intention. Like this person, I've known them for a long time. And when we first met and were really close, like they were super cool and worth knowing. And then over the years, they got like less cool and less worth knowing. But I was like, no, I'll lead breadcrumbs back to the person I know they can be, and one day I'll help them get there. And then the universe was like, this is what you get for putting up with bullshit, Yvette. And what I got was not good. So no more. I wrote this in my journal today. I will not suffer fools in my roaring 20s.
That's definitely a good rule. I try not to ever suffer fools. It's not easy, and you do lose quite a few people.
Fuck them.
Yeah, or don't fuck them. Actually, sometimes that's a lot of the problem, I've noticed.
Yeah, definitely don't fuck them.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta write that down. That's another thing I won't do in my roaring 20s.
You're gonna just swear off fucking in your roaring 20s?
No, have sex with people. I'm writing this down right now. I don't want to reproduce.
Oh, don't.
Which, yeah, this is my note list.
Good.
Okay. And I've already been doing that.
Good.
So I just need to continue doing it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, you just need to get laid, which is the stupidest, most uninspired thing. And it's like, look, I get you want to have sex with me. but
I mean, honestly, I think sometimes that is true. I'm going to disagree with you here.
No, sometimes you do not need to get laid.
Sometimes you really do just need to get laid.
Mm-mm. Nope.
But it can rip. Don't talk like you're the one that knows this over me. Come on.
I haven't been laid all year. I'm doing fine.
Are you?
I think so. Yeah. Oh my God. I don't regret any of the sex I haven't had.
That's great. Yeah.
And
I don't regret any of the sex I have had this year.
Well, that's great. See, I do want that.
I probably should, but I don't.
Well, that's interesting.
But they definitely would have been people I'd reproduce with.
Oh, okay. So, well, there you go. That's what's up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't, but.
Mm-hmm. You know. Well, actually, I think you can. No,
you can't. We've been. Okay.
Damn it.
We're going to this thing about mice. It's just mice that can reproduce with two female eggs. It's not with actual human females.
It's not with eggs, by the way. They take the DNA out of the egg and they put it into a sperm. I think.
Okay, that's. Not,
I think the science is
that works.
Yeah, no. That's totally it. They take the nucleus from the egg and they put it into a sperm, and that is how. Something. Ugh, fuck my memory problems. This is why we need an intern, and a fact checker.
Fuck your memory and your science brain.
No, my lesbian friend told me all about it. She was very excited.
Well, if she was a lesbian, I mean, did she also write it on the internet?
No, she told me about it. I mean, maybe she wrote about it on the internet. I don't know.
I'm upset you have more than one lesbian friend. What's going on here?
So actually,
I'll let this one slide.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I have any more straight lady friends. I think all my friends are either lesbians or bi. I think most of them are lesbians.
Yeah.
And one of them is bi. And I'm the token. I'm not really. Yeah. No, I don't know any straight women.
Yeah.
Actually.
It happens.
I think that is a reflection of men, honestly, more than anything else. Because I've known a lot of these women for a long time, and mm-hmm. most of them didn't start out even bi, let alone gay.
Mm-hmm.
I think only one started off gay.
Yeah. Well, that's a trip.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Yeah, my friend group is split about 50-50, I think.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But you have, like, a lot more friends than I do, so that's what's going on there.
Yeah, I have, like, 5. So, totally.
Do dogs count?
I think they do.
I've got tons of friends.
You have so many friends. You're good with this.
But very beloved by dogs.
Orientation of all those dogs.
I think most of them are also bi.
I was going to say, Jacques definitely swings both ways. So, yeah.
I think Jacques is, like, asexual.
Just like his mommy.
Okay, this is a common misconception. I do have a sexual side. It's just rarely inspired.
Yeah. Which is good. I mean, that's an admirable thing.
Thank you. I just think that, like, what's the point in, I don't know, I'm going to get, like, probably spiritual on you.
I love it when you do this. Go on.
Well, it's just that, like, sex can be this amazing opportunity to, like, worship the nth essence of infinite consciousness in physical form. You know, it's like a person's body is like a temple that you pray to. It's just that is That's like a very sacred spiritual experience. And once you figure that mm-hmm. out, it's like, why are you interested in anything less?
Yeah. Yeah. And if there's no one that inspires you to that, what's the fucking point?
Oh, God, I wish there was, though.
No, I know.
I know. I know. So, hopefully, fingers crossed, 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, let's try and have you not offend people on dating sites anymore.
And, come on. Yeah, that is my sex happen. Life.
That's kind of your MO.
Mm. They want to be offended.
Yeah. They enjoy it. It's that BDSM side of you that every once in a while. You just use your words instead of whips. Whips, not words.
There words, we go. I'm getting a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to
be great. So, like, okay, so we are going into the new year, new decade, all that. Like, what are you thinking about as far as, like, strategies?
Okay, I would love to answer that question, but there's, like, a weird intermittent interference. Are you laying on top of a microphone?
I am not.
Okay. Am I? No.
I don't know.
Okay.
Between the two of us, you're the only one that has a microphone, so possibly.
I see. Okay, it's better now. Okay. I'm gonna roll with it. Okay, sorry. What was your question?
What are things you want to purposefully do in the new year, in the new decade?
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you asked. Like I said, I spent all day thinking about this. I did yeah. other things, but I was thinking about this while I was doing the other things. And periodically, like, stopping to write things down. So, New Year's is interesting, right? And I've watched people my whole life make resolutions that they keep for, like, 2 days. And I've never really been a resolution-y kind of gal. Except for 1 year when I got very disappointed in myself 6 months in for not journaling. I'm going to journal every day. And then as soon as I didn't, I was like, you're a piece of shit. You had one goal.
One job.
Okay, so usually I just walk into the new year like it was the last year, and I don't think about it at all, and I don't try to do anything new.
Yeah.
But that's old Yvette, all right? She died earlier this morning.
Yeah.
New Yvette. New year, new me. But I think a lot of people say new year, new me, and then they don't do it. So I spent a good amount of time today journaling about how you make a new you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have a different, more, better, whatever year, you've got to change, right? You can't be like, this year it's going to be better, and then not do anything and expect things to get better. That's what everybody does. That's what I see the most of. And I just don't understand how people expect that to work out. So I was like, okay, if I want a different kind of year, I got to be a different kind of me.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So how do you be a different kind of you? This brings me to my favorite topic, which is choices.
Yeah.
The guy that I was like in love with for way too long, Chicago nerds mm-hmm. know him as, he used to always say people make choices. And I loved that about him because I'm obsessed with choices and he was also obsessed with choices. And obviously he makes poor choices, because he didn't choose me. But anyway,
definitely.
I love that. People make choices, right? So I've got to make different choices this year if I want to have a different kind of year. And I don't just want to have a different kind of year. Oh, no. I'm future tripping about this. I want to have a different kind of decade.
Hell yeah.
So last
big decade.
Yeah, last decade was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Last decade was about breaking down and building up and then breaking down again. And I grew a lot, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I would pray for stupid stuff like strength. Don't ever pray for strength. Because then God will be like, here, I have tons of adversity. And then you're like, I didn't ever want it to be this strong.
Right. This is not what I'd bargain for.
It is, though. It's not what I meant to bargain for. Yeah. But yeah, so I may or may not have watched some sermons today.
Oh, good.
And this is not in the one that I sent you. And this actually isn't even in one that I watched today, but it just is on my mind. It's relevant to this. And it's the same guy that I sent you. I used to go to this black church in LA. I think it's called Potter House now. When I went, it was called One Church. Anyway, I used to go to a bunch of churches. That's my favorite one. I'm not actually religious, but I guess I'm some sort of religious voyeur.
That's really appropriate for what you do. But I think it's cool. It's like, you know, people are so worried about being an organized religion when it's like, you can just take pieces that you like and that work for you and your life and make your life better.
Like my desire to do Shabbat.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, people don't seem to understand that, like, life really is like one of those choose your own adventure books, and you can just choose the bits and pieces that work for you. So this church worked for me, and I went when I lived in LA, and I really loved it. And he talked about being an overcomer and how overcomers can help people who are going through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really poignant observation. I now realize, as someone who is an overcomer, oh, this last decade was hard. I finished law school, which I hated. I almost died. My mom did die. I had my heart ripped out of my chest by my friends. Like, it was a hard decade.
Yeah, you had a lot of shit.
Like a dum-dum, I was praying for strength, and God delivered.
Yep, you're still here.
And quite strong. So anyway, different, better choices. I have no idea how I got off on this overcoming tangent. But, yeah, I got nothing. Anyway, the point is, choices become habits. And habits are the foundation that we build our lives on. So much of your life, you know, when I brush my teeth, I don't really have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in the grocery store buying a bunch of produce, I don't even have to think about that. Like, yeah. Those are just good habits that I have. And
yeah,
good habits make your life so much easier.
Yeah. Well, how about then, instead of focusing on the good, like, you have good habits, like, you know, but what about bad habits and bad choices that you can change? I think we can all probably identify our bad habits.
Totally. So that's the first part. No, the first part, okay, this is what I came up with. So you have to take inventory, right, of, like, who you are,
mm-hmm.
the good, the bad, the ugly, the evil. And then the second part is, like, starting to make choices about who you are versus who you want to be. And I think that the easiest thing to see is what you should stop doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think most people are doing something today that they know that they should stop.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe it's a toxic relationship. Maybe it's bad eating habits. Maybe you just don't use your signal light because you suck. I don't know. You should stop all those things. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't be the guy who, you know, merges across four lanes of traffic to turn left and blocks everyone once you get to the intersection. Like, stop that.
Yeah. Not cool.
Not cool. You can do better. Mm. So, yeah, identifying your bad habits and stopping today. And luckily, I was journaling about this, and I figured out I stopped the things that I needed to stop. Like, I have learned already this decade and stopped a bunch of them. Most recently, though, I learned about that Fools thing I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very deliberate about not letting, like, overtly toxic people into my world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a lesson that I've had to learn a couple times to not let shitty people into my world. So, like, people who aren't, like, you know, awful, evil, malicious, but they're still just, like, this last person was, like, I found them to be very fake.
Yeah.
And there will be no more phonies in the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah.
Because what I thought was a fake person turned out to be a liar. And I just thought that this person was lying to themselves, but it turns out that, like, this person lies all the time. It's, like, a way of life.
Yeah.
And I should have known that shit because I knew that they were fake. So it's my own fucking fault for my willful blindness. No more. What about you? What are you doing that you can stop in your Roaring Twenties? I love that I get to say, I'm saying that all the time now, obviously.
You love the Roaring Twenties. I imagine you're having, like, flapper parties by
I'm gonna get a flapper dress, obviously. I'm wearing pearls to your house.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a hat with a feather.
Oh god, hats with feathers, it's all coming back. It's great. I've got some scarves we can wear.
It's great. Awesome. I actually have like 10 black boas from a costume that I didn't end up making because of Halloween heartbreak.
Yeah,
I'm bringing them.
Hell yeah.
Here we go.
This. That'll be fun. yeah, I think mine is a lot similar to yours. I've been more fortunate in like the latter half of this decade to where I don't have a lot of phony people and fake people and hurtful people in my life. I want to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I want to keep it that way, but also something that I do a lot, especially at work, is I expect too much of people.
Mm.
And when I know they just are not going to have it in them, so I'm going to try and really just respect people more so for what they can do.
Where they are. Not what they, I think they could satisfy you, you know, but they're not choosing to.
They're not always choosing to.
Mm-hmm.
But, and some people just don't have the ability. And that, you know, and I think just to be kinder overall. You know, I think I can be a little tough when I'm in a work situation where I expect a whole lot from people. Mm-hmm. And where I'm really lucky and a lot of people do meet those expectations. Mm-hmm. But the ones that don't, I just point blank have no time for. Because mm-hmm. I personally don't think they belong in the function that they're in.
Mm-hmm. You want to be kinder?
I do want to be kinder. I think I should be kinder.
So do you want to, or do you think you should? Because those sound like two different things.
They definitely are, but I do want to, and I should.
Okay.
You know.
Because so I personally think honest feedback is very important.
It is. I think it dropped us. I think honest feedback is important, but if it doesn't get you anywhere, then there's no point to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ultimately overly caring about something, you know, there's no point to it.
Well, so you just set yourself up for disappointment when you have these expectations that, you know, yeah. If you think about it for a second, people aren't going to meet.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just like being really mindful of saturation points, like in my personal life and in work life. Mm-hmm. Just knowing when I have put enough into something, you mm-hmm. know, there's no reason to go all in on every single thing. You know, I don't need to super focus on a party and put all kinds of blood, sweat, and tears into something when I can put something together. And realistically, the important thing is like us and friends being together. It's not about mm-hmm. anything more than that. And I tend to overfocus on stuff. So that's definitely something I'd like to start doing. And I'd like my kids to have a bit more freedom and not be as much how I am. So I'd like to kind of lead that example now that they're getting a little older and starting to recognize stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
just because you think they'll be happier that way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So, the way that I like framed this that really helped me figure out what I wanted to stop doing was what makes me weaker.
Mm.
You okay. could feel it. Like literally whenever I hung out with this person or even talked to them, I was like, this person makes me weaker. And I even told them that while it was happening. But I wanted, you know, I had this intention and this end goal in mind. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the means justify the end. And I talked to you about this yesterday. No, I'm a means kind of girl. Like, I want my means and I want my ends. I want my cake and I want to eat it too. Like,
you reversed it. Does the end justify the means?
Oh, thank you. yeah, no, I want it all. And that is Fool taught me.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be a tough thing. I think that's going to be a tough thing for you to realize. And I think, yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to give you both. I think it's a great thing to strive for.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean they're going to give me both what?
I don't think they're going to give you the means that you want and the end that you want. I think that's very few and far between people.
I mean, you do.
I'm fucking delightful. Of course I
do. I know. You are. So how many more people do I really need? I mean, I've got dogs.
There you go.
Eddie Pepitone is great.
Mm-hmm. I don't pee on the floor. Like,
there you go.
Hardly ever. And yeah, I'm very happy when you come home. It's great.
Yeah. just find more dog people.
Yeah. Yeah. Having less people around you that drain you is a very good thing. I don't think I have anyone like that right now.
Yeah. I've got a couple family members, but
yeah,
they're in my immediate family, so I don't know what to do about that. Maybe I'll figure that out in the roaring 20s.
Well, hey, you know what? That's some of your prime people who I think, you know, at the end and the means, you're not going to be happy with whatever they do. But I don't think they have the capacity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What you want them to do.
Right. So I just, like, engage deliberately, you know, like, when I feel up to it and I know ahead of time this is probably going to go poorly.
Yeah.
But maybe it won't. Here we go. And then sometimes I'm like, no, not today.
Yeah, I cannot.
Don't have it today. Sorry. So, yeah, those are the only draining people that I think I still have.
Yeah.
Because, to be quite honest, I've cut out most humans at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you start adding new ones, yeah, you need to make sure that they're people that you do want in your life. And not just people that you wanted in your life when you knew them 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people unfortunately change.
Also, though, like, okay, so this is something I was thinking about earlier. Let's say you're hungry, okay? Let's say you're really hungry. You can go to McDonald's and buy some like plastic petri dish food, and it'll make you not hungry, and it'll probably like destroy your insides and give you cancer in 20 years. I don't know. Or you can make like chicken soup that heals your body and your soul. So even if somebody satisfies a desire, are you momentarily satiated but also poisoned, or are you nourished in addition to being momentarily satiated? Yeah. And like recognizing that difference.
Yeah, I mean, I can say my last girlfriend was definitely McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't want to recognize that whatsoever.
Why do we do that?
You know, it's just that I think it's the instant gratification.
Uh-huh.
It's right there.
You don't have to feel hungry anymore.
I don't have to feel hungry. Get everything that I need, that I think I need, and then mm-hmm. realize that it's hollow and empty and ultimately hurts me. Very nice. Very nice.
I think that's like incredibly common.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people choosing a lot of relationships that are poison.
Yeah. And do you think it's more so just because the person is there and available? Or do you think
it's... I think that's part of it, but I don't think that's everything. Because sometimes someone will be there and available and nourishing, and somebody will still choose the poison.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's like some deep-seated psychological childhood stuff playing out, or part of it too. So this is what I was thinking. This is the flip side of the what makes you weaker, what makes you stronger. And one thing that makes you stronger is tough love.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the nourishing person is also tougher on you. So you go yeah, with the poison sure. person because it's easier.
For sure.
Yeah. But that's not ultimately like watering your goals and intentions and who you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, an ex of mine that was totally the love of my life at the time married a girl who was so, so, so dumb, and I just couldn't understand it. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm a challenge.
Mm-hmm,
and that's
mm-hmm.
not what was wanted.
Mm-hmm, it was just mm-hmm.
the easiness and the ability to just, okay, this is fine, and just deal with it.
Because if someone brings your frequency down, that's hard in a certain kind of way,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of easier than growing for a lot of people. For sure. I don't know.
Yeah, no. It's hard to be with someone that challenges you in a relationship when, you know, we say that's what we all want, but...
I feel like that's what I want.
mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is hard. And it's hard to be in a relationship like that. I mean, I think it's a good kind,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's not easy. And I don't think relationships are, you know, you want to grow. You want to grow with someone. At least I do, and you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us are like that, that we want to mm-hmm. make ourselves grow and make ourselves better. And if we have a partner that doesn't challenge us, like, what the hell's the point?
The McDonald's, I mean, you're not hungry at least.
Yeah.
That's the point, right?
Yeah. You're not hungry, but you're also, you know, not
starving.
Yeah.
You're not hungry, you're starving.
Yeah.
Your body is completely deficient in all vitamins.
All everything. Yeah, it actually takes vitamins out. It's super
You hard. Have scurvy.
But oh, God.
Yeah, bad love equals scurvy. I'm into it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're listening, nerds, I dare you to stop what you know you shouldn't do today.
Yeah.
Let's see. I actually stopped everything already. This pool was the last part of it, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, I looked at my list that I made, and I was like, good job. I did all of these things in 2019.
Okay.
So I'm excited about continuing that in the roaring 20s and... having a roaring 20s that doesn't have any of the things that I shouldn't be, that I know I shouldn't be doing now.
Hey, yeah. I mean, don't bring it forward. It's like when you move.
Mm-hmm.
If you can mm-hmm. throw stuff away before you move, throw it away. Don't move it to just throw it away later.
Totally.
Get rid of it now. It just weighs you down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I already got rid of all those things. Okay. So then I mentioned this earlier. The flip side of it is, what is it that feeds you? What is it that nourishes your who you want to be, your potential, your goals, your intentions, and water those things?
Yeah.
And I think that's what people usually make New Year's resolutions about. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to do these things. And it's almost, I kind of want to say it's easier to do something than it is to not do something.
Yeah.
To stop doing something.
Yeah.
Like, dump your toxic girlfriend. It's kind of harder, I think, than going to the gym.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. Right? Which is kind of counterintuitive, I think. Either way, you're going to be outside of your comfort zone, and that's the point. Because you want to create a new normal so that you actually have a new kind of year.
Yeah.
So, what are the things that feed your goals and intentions? Well, that's the first thing. I don't think we talked about that, but like, you have to get clear about what your goals are and where you want to go. What kind of year do you want to have?
Yeah, my year, I want to have a more positive year. I'm in a lot of change in my work environment and in my relationship environment. I'm sure it'll change. So I want to remain steady and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And, which is totally generic, but like, it's about all I have now. My tiny company was bought out by a huge company. And, I went from a big fish in a small pond to a medium sized fish and an ocean.
A giant pond. Yeah. An ocean.
it's learning how to navigate kind of new waters that I've never been in before. So I just want to keep an open mind to that. And that's something that I think you can always look when things change in your life. You can see how things changed before. I mean, I grew up in a super, super small town and moved to San Francisco when I graduated high school. Just left, and the first class I went to in college was in a hall that had more people than my town in it, and it freaked me the fuck out.
So you've played this game before, moving to oceans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've done it before, and it was really scary, but I ultimately got through it. And, you know, you can choose to just, you know, drown, or you can swim, and most of us swim, and, you know, I don't want to just dog paddle, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not trying to float.
Yeah, not just trying to float. I'd like to do something.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you said that you want a positive year. So yeah. I would challenge you that in order to have a positive year, you have to be a positive poor man Santana.
I do have to be positive. And see, like I said, being kinder to people. I think being totally kind totally leads that. And I usually am fairly kind. I just am too judgmental to be outwardly and have zero poker face. So that just doesn't help. I don't know how to change that. And like you said, just recognizing the people in my life who are worth the value and the ones who aren't, to get rid of it, which is easier said than done, but you know, you get one life, and why spend it with people that bring you down? You know, if you can get,
I don't know, so many people do
rid of them if you're not related to them.
Yeah, anyone I'm not related to that brings me down is out, and most of the people I am related to that bring me down are also out.
Yeah. Oh,
super into that. So how do you think you'll be kinder?
I think I'm gonna stop, just kind of take a breath, which I generally don't do. Usually don't slow down. And I think I can afford to just slow down a little bit and think about things and the repercussions and stuff like that.
Yeah, increase your awareness.
Yeah. increase my awareness of others and others' feelings and stuff like that.
What about doing our happiness or choose happiness practice from that episode?
Oh,
did you try it?
That is a great one.
Choose did you happiness. Try it?
I think I did try it. I mean, I have moldy brain too, so I don't quite know. I don't quite remember. You do choose happiness like every day, so I'm
very good at it.
Yeah.
And I totally blame that TED Talk. So I would challenge you to try to do that practice that we talked about, which is the daily intention setting, which I have fallen off of that part of it because that happens in the morning and mornings are hard for EVETs. but that is an important part. And now that we're talking about it, I'm going to start doing that again.
Yeah.
And also this month was just fucking crazy and I barely survived it.
I think holiday months are super difficult for people.
Oh my God, holiday months, and then my friend was staying with me, and then the dog got sick. Like, it was just everything at once.
Yeah.
Except for 12 hours last night. It was glorious. I feel like a new person. Been a weird month. But anyway, so the first thing is the daily intention setting, and then reflecting on three things that you're grateful for, mm-hmm. one positive experience.
Mm-hmm.
And exercise and meditation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I don't do the exercise or meditation every day unless journaling counts as meditation, which I personally believe it does. Then I do meditate every day.
It does not in the slightest.
It does.
It doesn't.
Do you journal?
Thinking if you're writing it down. Jesus Christ.
But you're still, it's like the gateway to meditation.
So your mind is completely clear and you're not thinking about anything?
There's more than one kind of meditation, first of all.
Is there journaling meditation? Is that what we're talking about?
I think so. Because, I mean, there's even dream meditation. Like, once you get it, there's breath meditation, there's blue light meditation, there's all kinds of...
Oh God, I do sleep meditation really well.
Wait, a sleep meditation?
Yeah.
I think you just made that up.
I'm really good at it. I don't know how you're being so judgy and choosing sadness right now.
No, I'm serious. There's something called dream meditation.
I'm serious too, and I do sleep meditation.
Okay, tell us about your sleep meditation practice, poor man Santana.
Okay, so when you sleep, you have choices if you go into a dream state or not. And if you are very good at meditation...
I don't think you have that choice, first of all.
You definitely do.
if you don't dream, you go crazy.
Well, no. Like, so if you do practice meditation, like in the classical sense of clearing your mind and the focus is obliterated or the focus is on nothing, like people go either way on it. But if you're very good at that, when you put yourself to sleep and you meditate yourself to sleep, there's like a very peaceful way that you go into a dreamless sleep. And I personally sleep very well and do that quite often. I also snore extremely loud, which I've been just made aware of by my girlfriend. And
you didn't know?
I didn't fucking know.
But maybe you didn't used to. Maybe it's new.
Yeah, maybe.
Or if she's a liar. Ooh, what if she's just gaslighting you?
Oh, God. That would be so
funny.
If she was. That would be great. Okay. I would love it if she was. That would be funny as hell.
Right.
But I guess not because I had a friend of mine staying at my house one night who had never met her before.
Okay.
And, was in the room next to us. And when we got up the next morning, she's like, I don't know which of you needs a CPAP machine, but someone needs to go to the doctor. God. That's me.
Okay.
So, she's not lying.
So you should go to the doctor then. Sleep apnea kills. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah, I do. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I just learned that this year. So many lessons in the 2010s.
Yeah. yeah, I got to go to the doctor more. That's something that's, it's so stupid and it's so easy. And I don't think, well, you do it all the time because you're sick. You don't have a choice.
I did put that, though, in my things I will do this year. It's under my keep up the self-love medical advocacy.
Yeah.
That's an important one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you especially have to keep doing it.
Because I haven't met a competent doctor yet. No, I did finally meet one competent doctor, but we shall see.
But it's a start, and it's going in on a positive note into the roaring.
Oh, I love her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that's something I have to do that you have to do. So yeah, no, I don't journal. You asked if I journaled. I used to journal. I haven't in quite a long time.
I think journaling is like the gateway drug to meditation because it gets you to slow down and quiet your mind because you can think faster than your hand can write. This way you can't type. It doesn't count. That's not journaling. That's something that's totally different, and I don't know what the benefits of that are because I don't believe in doing that. But you do. You have to slow down your mind, and you find clarity in the pages, and then it becomes easier to sit in complete stillness with no thoughts on your mind because you have done the work beforehand. So I think journaling and meditation do go like hand in hand, and one feeds the other. Mm-hmm. And if you have trouble meditating, highly recommend taking up journaling and then trying to meditate. I think it's a lot more doable.
Mm-hmm.
I got really good at dream meditation in the 2010s.
Yeah.
Hippie. Yeah. I have a buddy who is very soft-spoken, very amazing artist. His name is Jonathan Mattis, and you should check out and find him. His art is incredible. He's had, like, he's worked at all the big tech companies. He did, like, the art for Mark Zuckerberg's computer. He's great. And he is, like, a hardcore Buddhist, and he's the one who taught me about dream meditation. And I had already been lucid dreaming for a long time, and I had this recurring nightmare for, like, 18 years or something. Ooh. And when the dream started, I would be inside somewhere, some kind of house. Sometimes it would be like a house out of a Tim Burton movie. Sometimes it would be a house that I used to live in as a child or something. Ooh. But I would know immediately, like, oh, she's here. And then I would walk around the house looking for this woman who was wearing a white gown, and she had white sort of wiry hair that went out almost like she was being electrocuted or something. And her eyes were all black.
Ooh.
And then she had like piranha teeth. And when I found her, she would open her mouth and go, "Rah!" My dog just looked at me like, what the fuck was that? I'm sorry.
You can kill me, but I'll never do that again.
It's okay, banana. No, someday someone's going to give me some voiceover job, and that sound is going to make me famous. I'm going to be like, I was the zombie and such and such. Anyway, the voice of the zombies. The point is, I had that dream for the longest time, and what I always did, I have a lot of X-Men motifs in a lot of my dreams. I would get Wolverine claws, and I would cut the dream in half.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't just cut this lady in half. I cut the whole dream in half, almost like something out of a comic book. Like you would see these black slash marks.
Uh-huh.
And then like a piece of glass, everything would fall and it would be black. And then I would usually wake up. And my friend was like, well, in dream meditation, you're supposed to like go with whatever's happening. So next time she opens her mouth, why don't you try jumping inside of it?
No.
And I was like, because that sounds terrifying. But I did it anyway. And I jumped into her mouth and I rolled into another dream and I never had the dream again.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. So,
that's my dream meditation story. Oh, yeah. Lucid dreaming is so fun.
Yeah.
Can you lucid dream?
Yeah.
Nice. Do you have any motifs or?
No.
Things you like to do or don't like to do?
No, I usually just, I do try and change them whenever I get in there.
Okay.
But
you try to.
Just do different things and see how far I can go before I wake up.
Can you fly?
I haven't flown. No.
Yeah, I can't fly either.
Yeah.
I can jump like city blocks, but I can't fly.
Yeah.
A lot of X-Men motifs. Actually, the dream that I've had the most is probably like walking down an empty city. It looks like a Hitler painting. There's no people anywhere for no reason because it's the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just walking around throwing cars into buildings with like a wave of my hand.
Oh, wow.
I have no idea what that dream is about. I would love to know if someone out there has dream interpretation skills, because I've spent a lot of my sleeping life doing that. I don't have that dream that much anymore, but I had it for a really long time.
Yeah. I used to always have, especially the one that I used to have, like, as a young adult, was I would be shopping and I would fall into a bin of belts. And I would just keep falling. Yeah, like they were quicksand. Huh. Yeah, it was always very specific. And when I was almost like all the way in, like it was sucking me in, there would
be. Is that about like bondage and feeling tied down and trapped?
I don't know. They were like.
It's weird that they're belts.
80s or 90s belts, like in a bin.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I know. So weird. And when I was like just about to go in, there would always be a lady who would grab my ankles and try and pull me back up, but then she would get pulled in too.
Oh no.
I know, right?
Oh, that's a weird bummer of a dream.
Yeah, right?
Mm.
Like the one person who tried to save me. It's like, sorry.
Wow.
Well, guess you're coming.
Now you're drowning too in the bin of belts. How strange and unusual. Can you make things happen in your dream? Can you be like, I'm going to be by the ocean now?
Not within the dream. Within the dream, I can't do it. Okay. I can set myself to have certain types of dreams. In like locations like
before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Through meditation, real meditation.
Okay.
So
you're meditating on the beach while you're falling asleep.
I'm meditating. I'm clearing it out, and then I decide where I'm going to travel when I go to sleep. Yeah.
Cool. I couldn't for the longest time. Like I was just whatever world I was stuck in, I was stuck there, and then I could choose from all sorts of X-Men powers.
Mm-hmm.
But then I figured out that I can put whatever I want behind a corner, behind a door. Like if I just find an entry point, and then I can, and then I had lots of dates in Paris with Johnny Depp. That was what I always seemed to choose to do. I went between Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Johnny Depp for a long time.
Oh.
But as you do, I don't know. I don't do stuff like close. That anymore. Okay. So that is our dream meditation tangent. Anyway, the point is this year, I dare you nerds to figure out where you want to go, take inventory, and of who you actually are, and figure out what makes you stronger and weaker.
Yeah.
And then create your new normal by stop being doing the things that make you weaker and worse, and do more of what waters you and your goals and makes you stronger.
Yeah.
So you want to have this positive year, and you're going to stop being so curt with people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be kinder.
Yeah.
Anything else that, what waters your goals and intentions?
Well, just to try and be a better person. Really. I mean, that's it. Like, that's kind of the end goal for me.
Okay, so you want to be a better person, but what waters that?
Just that want.
So the desire to be a better person is the accountability drill sergeant.
Well, no, because there doesn't have to be a drill sergeant. There doesn't have to be something that you win from it. I mean, you win by doing better by yourself and others, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay, you're making out with the microphone again. Stop it.
I swear I'm not, because I don't have a microphone.
Stop licking your phone.
You didn't mention that part. You said something about a microphone. I spilled syrup on it earlier. I'd like to stop licking syrup off my phone. It's super nasty. They're obviously the things that have the most germs.
It's gross.
Super bad.
Okay, so you're going to stop licking your phone next year.
Licking my phone. It's not a euphemism. Just really need to stop.
I'm so confused about what's making that sound. Can you not hear it?
I can't. Not a bit. So it's on you.
I don't understand.
So there's my little wanting to be a better person thing. So your goals that you say you've already accomplished in 2019. So
no. So I stopped doing all the things that are on my stop list.
Okay.
But the things that I will do, some of them I've started doing, and others I could definitely stand to do more of.
Mm-hmm.
So the year and decade that I want is, I want to start doing more comedy again.
Yeah.
Oh, that sound is driving me insane. I really hope that it's not in the recording. I'm so confused.
It's not going to be in the recording. And the best part is when you do your first stand-up, you know, I'll obviously be there. And I'll just
have
a little noisemaker that just the lightest sound. Playing on stage like full-on Maria Bamford. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, that'll be hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I want to get back into comedy, which I was doing really good at. Was really deliberate about. I mean, I moved across the country to, like, study at Second City and stuff, but then I couldn't move my hands or make new memories, so yeah. That got derailed.
Yeah, it kind of takes you off your path.
Mm-hmm. So that's another goal for my year and decade. I want to be super healthy. I want me and mine to have health.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a lot of good habits that feed that, good eating habits and movement habits. Movement is something I already eat pretty well, yeah. Except for my eggnog. Ugh,
disgusting. Disgusting.
My delicious eggnog habit.
I mean, you need it because you need the calories a lot of times because you hardly eat. Because when you eat so damn healthy, you hardly get any calories.
That's all kind of true. But I eat a fair amount of cheese. There's calorie in cheese.
Good.
Anyway.
And mix it with your disgusting eggnog. I don't know.
Ew.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Not the fermented eggs, but the cheese in it. Yeah, that's what's in it.
Yeah, it got weird even for me, and I love both of those things. Okay, yeah, so I want to be healthy. Mm-hmm. So I've got to keep up my self-love practice, which I've gotten very good at in the 2010s. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a good positive thing that I've figured out in the 2010s. And I don't think I did that before the 10s. I don't think I advocated for myself. And I always, actually, yeah, and I probably was better at the movement part of it. Mm-hmm. Rollerblading and gymming and tennis and stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of the self-love stuff got a lot better in the 2010s. So keep that up. That helps with the healthy thing. So yeah, and goals for the year. Then I also want to find and be an amazing partner. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how any of the things on my will do or won't do list are going to lead to that. So maybe I need to add something to my will do list. Well, on my won't do list, I have sex with people I don't want to reproduce. So that's good.
Yeah.
That maybe will help me find an amazing partner because I won't be wasting time with Mr. right now.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And make awesome babies.
Yeah.
That's my last goal and intention for the decade.
Yeah.
So again, with the no sex with people I don't want to reproduce, that's helpful. I guess I have to add to my will do list something about leaving my house and meeting human beings.
Yeah. You should definitely dating go out more. Yeah.
Well, I do have watch more comedy. So maybe I will just add.
Maybe you could just go to comedy shows instead of just.
Yeah, that's what I'm Netflix. Adding.
Okay.
Go to comedy shows / theater. And yeah. Maybe. Although I've never met anyone at the theater.
But still, like, chew out, and then afterwards we go and have drinks or something, and that's fun.
Right.
That's how you totally meet people. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just added that.
All right. Cool. I like it.
So those are my wills, will do's. A water good love. That's on my will do list. I realized this decade in the 2010s that good love is the most meaningful thing in my life. And yeah. I should prioritize it accordingly and not ever take it for granted again, which before the 2010s, I definitely did.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the 2010s, too.
Yeah.
I was like, everyone's just good love. La, la, la. No.
Yeah.
It does not grow on trees.
So are you doing platonic love and romantic love?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Familial love. All the loves. Self-love.
Yeah.
Love of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Water all the good love.
Yeah.
Watch, write, and perform more comedy. Keep up self-love. Go to comedy shows and theater. / I don't know, just be in world where I might meet a person.
I mean, yeah, sometimes it's all you need.
Meet a human.
That's going to be one of mine too, is to go more places and do more things, have more experiences.
Great. Well, let me know. Here we go. And then remind me that I said I would do that, because I'll be like, nah, I'm good.
You're like, no, there's this special I wanted to watch. And I'll be like, get out of your fucking house.
As soon as this is over, I gotta go see that SNL episode with Eddie Murphy. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle is literally only in the opening sketch though, so don't.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know. It was pretty bummed out. But the rest, like, it actually had some laugh out loud moments. So,
can I watch it on YouTube, or where did you see it?
I saw it on Hulu.
Damn you. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm probably just going to find as many sketches I can on YouTube.
Probably on YouTube, honestly.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I haven't been this excited about an episode of SNL since, like, the 90s.
Oh, good Lord. There have been a few really good ones. That's one of those where you have to give it another chance. And those
this are, excited though?
Yeah. Like Tina Fey.
You sent me that picture and I was like, I know. What?
Yeah. Well, and to be
this
fair,
this is happening?
Yeah, it was right. So the picture I sent you was, and it was like, it was a whole bunch of guys. It was like Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Tracy Morgan, and Kenan Thompson. Yeah, there were five. And I was just like, oh my God, this is going to be like the best fucking episode of SNL ever. And then,
right?
Yeah. And then like, no one was in any of the other sketches except Eddie Murphy and, you know, Kenan, obviously. And I'm like, oh.
Oh.
Well.
All right.
But it was still really good. So, yeah.
I just got a little bit less excited.
But I was going to say that Sasheer Zamata, who's one of like the featured ones on SNL, has been doing a lot of stand-up lately, and she's been around here, and I think she'd be a fun one to see. Pretty much any SNL person that I've seen live has been really good.
Do you think we can get cheap tickets to Ali Wong?
To Ali Wong?
Mm-hmm. No,
like the most popular comedian of the moment.
You maybe last minute ticket site. We'll ask Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff will probably know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look. I think all her stuff is done though. Because
I think she still has shows through. I thought she had stuff going through the first week of the new year.
Yeah, but not around us, dear.
Oh, sometimes I just make stuff up.
I mean, do you want to go to DC? I'll see if I have a free weekend. To see Ali Wong.
God, I would love to see Ali Wong.
Oh no, so would I, just the tickets were so expensive. But oh look.
Yeah, I did look at the tickets. They were quite expensive.
Yeah.
This bitch. She's my favorite female comedian.
I like her. I like her a lot.
I adore her. My
favorite.
Who's your favorite?
You know, it's probably going to be someone quite a bit older.
Like Rita Rudner or something?
Rita Rudner is actually fucking fantastic.
She's hilarious. That's why I mentioned her.
I fucking love Rita Rudner, and I am.
She's very underrated.
Oh, mm-hmm. She is. You know, she has a residency in Vegas right now, right?
Yeah, I think you said that before.
Well, I'm very excited about it, and I feel like I keep telling you this, waiting for you to say, "Yeah, let's go to Vegas and see Rita Rudner," because everyone else is like, "Who?"
Hate Vegas, but I would go for Rita Rudner.
Exactly. Rita Rudner's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. She's wonderful.
Yeah. Lily Tomlin is. Have you ever seen her stand up?
I don't have any idea who that is.
Lily
by name.
Are you?
Is she that Puerto Rican lady?
No. No. She was on SNL. For many years, she was the
opposite. Oh yeah, she's hilarious. I just looked her up.
Yes, she's great. Grace and Frankie and Grace. She's on that. She's really good. As far as new stuff, but yeah, she's great.
Maria Dude, Blanca, we better go see her. She's 80.
She's 80. Holy God.
She looks great, right?
Yeah, she does. She looks fucking fantastic. Ugh. But yeah,
no. I didn't know she was a lesbian.
Yes, she is.
I also didn't know her name, so this is not surprising.
Yes. She's had a special friend for many, many years.
Okay.
yeah. But yeah, Maria Bamford, even though I laugh
about I love her, Maria Bamford.
Yeah, she's really good.
I also find her to be underrated, and like a lot of people who don't know who she is, and she's great.
Yeah, there's a kind of new, new to me, Eliza the Millennial.
Ugh.
You don't like her?
Okay, so here's the thing about Eliza. Elder Millennial is quite funny.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah.
I first saw her a long ass time ago doing stand up in LA, and I saw her a couple times, and she always did like the same sort of tired thing where she makes fun of women a lot, and she's like very proud of the fact that she never talks about relationships, because a lot of women tend to talk about relationships. But it's like, you just talk shit about women, and then you're like, female empowerment, while I talk shit about women, which I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
She has grown a lot, though, and she's much funnier than she used to be. So I just am really good at holding grudges, I guess,
is
what we learned from the story.
Yeah. But it's hard.
I watched Elder Millennial, and I was like, okay, this bitch is funny now.
Got it. She's worked it out.
And then, honestly, I'm jealous of her because, you know, she didn't get sick and her mom didn't die. And she got to just keep doing comedy until she actually got good at it. Because there was a time when I feel like I was a lot better than her. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I'm probably not. And that makes me sad.
Well, get her in this decade.
Yeah, you're going down, Eliza.
Yeah, get her.
Or I'm going up, yeah. Hopefully.
Both can be true. Huzzah.
You could say where you are. I'll just go up. I don't want anyone to go down. I'm not trying to put that into the universe. Because even though I do talk a bunch of shit about the opposite of female empowerment, I kind of am, I don't know.
You're a total feminist.
I'm not a social justice warrior. Fuck you.
you pretty much are. You just don't like the title.
Ew, shut up. No. You're just trying to piss me off and it's working.
It's true. You're very much a fighter.
I like a lot of the stuff they purport to like, but if they actually liked it, then they wouldn't do, you know, this is that ends and means thing.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We say we want the same ends.
Yeah.
But their means are completely broken.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them are. It's not great. Who's your favorite comedian?
I told you, Ali Wong. I mean that.
Really, Ali Wong?
Really, Ali Wong. In fact, my dead mother watched her first special because the second one wasn't out yet.
Yeah, it was right before. Yeah.
And she was like, this is the funniest stand-up show I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
So that was my mom's favorite stand-up show ever. Oh, wow. And it's up there for me. Mm-hmm. It's probably my favorite lady stand-up show.
Yeah.
Ever. I love her. She's brilliant. And one thing, it's like the hipster in me. I love that men don't get it. I love that. They're like, really? I didn't think she was that funny. And it's like, yeah. Because it's not for you.
Yeah, it's not at all.
And it's so funny to the lady inside of me.
Yeah.
I love her. She's fantastic. And she does the whole thing while being, like, so pregnant. And yeah. It's just kudos to you. I feel like if I had that hanging from my midsection, I would be on my couch eating bonbons. Yeah. You're amazing.
Could not.
That's a badass bitch. Yeah. I love Ali Wong.
Yeah.
Okay, so, anyway, thank you for being on this episode of Nerdacious Behavior, and I look forward to having you back in a year to see how your positive poor man Santana aspirations turned out.
Yeah, I'm going to try and put it to good work.
Yeah, build those habits.
Yeah.
So you have a more positive, better, faster, stronger 2007 Kanye poor man Santana.
Oh, yay. Easy.
All right. Well, thanks again. And Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you could choose to get deliberate about this year.
Yeah. Choose it. Be it. Go for it.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
There you go. May the force be with you.
Yes. And also with you.